Hi, everybody. It's so good to see you all. And just before the band
go...
Bye, darling. Wasn't the praise and worship amazing? It's just so wonderful when we can all get together and just sing to the Lord and just to enjoy His praise and worship. And the atmosphere in here tonight is just wonderful. You know, I just sense the Lord being here with us. I just sense His presence. And I'm just so grateful to each and every one of you for coming out tonight and to listen to what God has done in my life. Can I just open with a word of prayer, please? Father, we just thank You so much that we can come into Your presence, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, and we can come and enjoy Your presence, Lord. We thank You, Father, for all that You've done in each one of our lives, Lord. We thank You that You've given us all a testimony, Lord. And I just thank You for the testimony that You've given me, Lord. I thank You, Father, that Your word says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, Lord. This is what You have done in my life, Lord. And I just pray as I share with the ladies, Lord, they would see the goodness of You, Lord. They would see the miracles that You have done in my life, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks for allowing me to come and share my story. I just love to speak about my Jesus and what He has done for me and how He has given me a new life. Let me read a verse in the Bible that tells you what God has done for me. I call this my testimony verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and He set my feet on a rock and gave me a new song, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. My life was not always this good. I grew up in a family with three brothers and two sisters. And one of my sisters is here tonight, praise God. My mum and dad did not have a very happy marriage, and they were divorced when I was quite young, although she did go on to remarry when I was 11. I was not a particularly happy child. My mum suffered from terrible depression, and things were hard at times. I also, at the age of 12, was a victim of sexual abuse for over a period of 2 years. So things were hard, and I grew up feeling very sad. But one thing my mum did for us, one good thing she did, she sent us to Sunday school each week, and I loved it. It was a place of happiness for me. I can remember that they played a game with you where you had to find a verse in the Bible, and if you found it, you got a sweetie. I think that was the best bit that I liked, getting the sweetie. Later on, when I was a teenager, I went to the Baptist church in Hamilton with my cousin. There, the church hired out a coffee shop on a Tuesday night, and we invited people in and gave them tea and coffee and told them all about Jesus, much like what we're doing tonight. So I had a bit of a background of church and Jesus, but I never came to know Him personally. That had to come much later. And God is faithful. He remembered me. Things were not good at home, and my mum struggled with her depression and spent a lot of her days in bed, and we had to fend for ourselves. I left home at the age of 17 and got a living job working with people with learning disabilities. I felt even more sad and lonely and longed for love and security. But God knew I needed someone. And then I met my wonderful husband, Robin, and he was amazing. He loved me from the very start. We met in the December of 1975, in the June, and by the January 76, we had our first baby girl, Claire. What a whirlwind, married within 6 months. And then we went on quickly to have Gail, who is with us tonight, and Lisa. And our marriage has now been blessed with 7 wonderful grandchildren. Church had been abandoned now. I was happy and settled being a mummy and a wife. But underneath it all, I was still lonely and insecure. I never knew it then, but now I know I was missing Jesus. I struggled for 10 years trying to be a good mum and a good wife. But my own depression had caused me to turn to drink. And although Robin loved me so much because of my deep-seated feelings of insecurity and abandonment, I was always being pulled down. I began to feel at this point that I wanted to go back to church. So I started taking the girls to Sunday school. And although I went every week and tried to be happy, I still could not find that peace that I was looking for. But all that had to change one day in August 85. I was working in a health food shop, and I'm sure there's quite a few of you in here who'll remember that. And there was a woman came into the shop, and she seemed so lovely. There was just something about her that I liked. She looked so happy. And then I noticed a badge on her jacket, and it said, "God is." And I thought, what a strange thing that is, God is. She must have lost a bit of her badge. Well, I tell her. But instead of saying anything, I just said to her, "Oh, I like your badge." And I said, "What is it?" She said, "Oh, it's my witness badge." And I said, "I don't understand what you mean." She said, "Well, I'm a Christian." I said, "Well, I still don't understand what you mean." And she said to me, "I was brought up a Catholic, and I always went to church every day, to Mass and confession. I tried to do everything right. I was a good girl. But even at that, I always knew there was something missing." My ears pricked up when she said that. "I got married and I fell pregnant and I lost the baby. I went on to have another 5 miscarriages. The result was that I had a nervous breakdown. My mum and dad sent me off to Australia to live with my sister and my husband to recuperate. I did not know it then, but they had become Christians. They asked me to go to church with them and I says, 'No, I don't want to go to church. I don't even believe in God. How could a God of love let me lose my 5 babies?' I was so angry. They never said anything else to me. But much later on, my sister says to me, 'Veronica, why don't you come to church with me? You'll enjoy it. It's good. And people are really happy there.' So she thought, okay, I'll go. So the first thing she saw when she went into this church were people singing and looking happy. They were raising their hands. She thought at that moment that they were mad. There was obviously something wrong with these people. But then she began to listen to what the pastor was saying. He started speaking and he began saying that God loved us so much that he wanted a relationship with us. He sent his son to die on a cross for to take away all our sins. and that we were all sinners, that the Bible has seen that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we had all disobeyed God and lived our own lives. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. She said that he said that he could give her a brand new life, and that if anyone wanted that brand new life, they had to come out the front and he would pray with them. So Veronica said that she was out of her chair like a shot and walking down that aisle. She did not know why she went down, but she knew that she wanted to go there. The pastor prayed with her, and she asked God to forgive her sins, and she just cried and cried. Then she went back to her seat. She was changed. She felt the love of God flowing into her life and giving her so much peace. She says her life totally changed after that. Her depression went, and she felt at peace. She said, although all her problems didn't disappear, she had peace and she had joy despite them all. God spoke to her and told her one day she would have a baby. A few years later, Veronica had a baby son. Wow. She left the shop, and I thought, I wish I could have a faith like that. I can't believe that I'd ever heard the word faith in all the times that I went to church. And if I did, it didn't penetrate. But I was saying the word, I wish I had a faith like that. And right away, God spoke to me. It was not an audible voice. It was a voice in my head. And he said, you can. You've just never asked. And I thought, that's it. I've never asked Jesus into my life. I've never given my life to Jesus. That's the answer. That's the missing bit of the jigsaw. Well, I locked up the shop and I ran all the way home. I went into my bedroom and I get down on my knees. And I said, oh God, if you are there and you did for Veronica all that, can you do that for me? Can you come into my life and change me and give me a new start? And I asked the Lord to forgive me my sins. And at that moment, there was a presence in the room. It was filled with God's love. God just filled me to overflowing. And my tears fell. And I felt as if I was crying all the dirt and all the grime from the past was just flowing out of me and making me clean. For the first time in my life, I felt clean and I felt whole. So, when this happened, the first person I wanted to share it with was Robin. And I said, oh Lord, I'll need to tell Robin all about you. But he said, no. He says, I don't want you to tell him just now. And I said, but I'll need to tell him that you love us and that you're alive and you're real. And he says, no, I'll tell you when to tell him. Well, for those of you that know me, I can't really keep them on water. But I managed to keep my mouth closed. And it was only the Lord that kept my mouth closed. And about 3 weeks later, I was in the kitchen, and I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I was making cheese sauce for the cauliflower. And I was stirring the pot, and the Lord said, go and tell him now. And I went, what? Oh, no, no, no. What will I say to him? And he says, I'll give you the words. Now, Robin did not believe in God at all. He thought there was a good force and a bad force, but did not believe in God. So I went through him and I said to him, Robin, do you believe in God? And he says, okay, no, I don't. And I says, well, Robin, something wonderful's happened to me. He says, I know. I says, how do you know? He says, well, he says, you've been awfully happy. And you've never shouted near the kids once in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I said, oh, Robin, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. Jesus is alive. And he's in me, he's in my heart, he's in my life. And I feel his love, and I can read my Bible, and for the first time I can understand what my Bible says. And he says, Kathy, that's really good for you. He says, but don't try and ram that down my throat. And I said, okay, Robin, I'll know. So I never. And he said, what's my place? Yeah. I just allowed the Lord to change me from being Mrs. Sad to Mrs. Happy. The result was that Robin gets saved 5 months later. My girls get saved. My sisters get saved. My friends get saved. And I was so happy. And for the first time, I did not nag him, and I was so peaceful. And I never rammed the Lord down his throat. And he says in his own testimony, that was what drew him to God. The fact that I never nagged him and I never went on. And he's seen the change in me. And he wanted to find out all about this Jesus and how he really was. A year later, God showed Robin and I that he would like us to become foster parents. So for 5 years, we took on children with very difficult backgrounds. A lot of them were sexually abused also. It brought a lot of memories up for me about my past. Although I would never change what I did, I know that we helped a lot of children and a lot of mums and dads, but it was time for me to get sorted. My past caught up with me, and sadly, my depression crept back in, and I was to be diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And during my 25 years of depression, I was admitted to psychiatric hospitals 21 times. My life became periods of being well, being high, and being so low in the depths of despair. I did not know where God was in all this, but I never lost my faith. He's always faithful, and he never, ever lets us go. During my recent admission to hospital, which was in October last year, the Lord gave me a picture of a house. He can speak to us, you know, in pictures. The Lord can speak to us anyway. He can use anything. And that day, he spoke to me in a picture. It was a broken house. There was scaffolding all around it. But bit by bit, the scaffolding came down to reveal a wonderful new house. The broken house represents me. The scaffolding, all the things I've put around it all of my life to protect my broken house. But bit by bit, the scaffolding is removed. The fear, the guilt, the shame, the pain, it's all coming down. But it's so sore. It's so very sore. I've lived with them for so long. But eventually, there's a new house. The old is gone, and the new has come. Brick by brick, it's all coming down. The lies, the dirt, the abuse, the anger, the unforgiveness, the wall, it's all coming down. And that was to come to pass on the 23rd of November last year. I tried to fix the broken house, but the fact is, the light shines best through the broken places in our lives. While we frantically try to fill those broken places with something, anything, he asks us to stop, be still, and rest in him, and let him fill each wounded, broken place in our life with his healing, his grace, and his love and forgiveness. When we do that, he makes us stronger than we ever thought possible. My spiritual eyes had been opened to God's word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I feel freer now than I've ever felt in my life. But I had to come to my lowest ebb to get to that point. It came to a point in the hospital last year that I did not want to live any longer. I decided to end my life. I won't go into the details, but I cried out that day, my God, why have you forsaken me? Just like Jesus on the cross. It was a long journey to health, but one morning after I'd been discharged, I was reading my daily Bible notes, and I read this verse, all the promises of God are always yes and amen. I began to read that in the Old Testament, there were always conditions to God's love. If you do this, I will do that. So many rules to follow. I always thought, if I could only be a better Christian, God would love me more. If I could only do this, God would love me more. If I could only do that, he would love me more. So it went on and on. So many conditions, I piled them all on. Then I realised for the first time that God's love is unconditional. It was not a set of rules and regulations. How many of us have thought like that? No, it's his amazing grace that has set us free. I looked out of the window and I saw in my mind's eye a picture of the cross of Jesus and Jesus on that cross. I sensed his pain and his aloneness when he also said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I started to read a picture, a description of Jesus on the cross in Isaiah 53. A description of the pain and the agony that Jesus suffered on the cross. And this is what it says. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Surely he took all our pain and bore our sufferings. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. For the first time, I knew that Jesus knew my pain. He had taken it all, the physical, the mental, the sexual abuse, all the abuse of my childhood that had ripped me apart all of my life and crucified me over and over again. It was nailed to the cross. No more guilt, no more shame, no more fear. It was all gone. God's grace and mercy and love had set me free. I wept and wept with joy and at the realization that when God's word says there is now no more condemnation, it's true. And when he says, who the Son has set free, he will be free indeed, that was true. And when he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, you are precious in my sight, it is all true. I arose that morning feeling restored. What I am saying is that I am set free from all the damaged emotions caused by my past, and I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. It took an army of family, friends and doctors, all used by God to bring his healing in his time. The medical profession have seen such a change in me that my nurse received Jesus and became a Christian. And my psychiatrist, who is a Muslim, after I shared my testimony with him, he said, the only advice I have for you, Kathy, is to continue to go to church. Some of you may be wondering why God allowed me to go through all those years of pain and suffering. I do not know the answer, but one thing I know, God used all my experiences to be able to comfort others. God's word says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. I have had many opportunities to comfort women who have gone through such terrible circumstances and to have been able to pray with them and show them the love of God. Others have received Christ as their Saviour and have left with hope in their hearts. People want to hear and see that God is real and that God does change lives. A lot of you here may know that my husband was diagnosed 5 months ago with bowel cancer. It was in March this year. This was devastating news. He received radiotherapy and chemotherapy every day for 3 weeks to try and shrink the large tumour so that they might be able to operate. Robin was told that if it shrunk, they would be able to remove it, and he would also end up with a stoma bag. The news would have sent me right back to the psychiatric hospital, but instead, I was full of Christ's peace and joy. And I used this bit of scripture to keep me going. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I do not know what lies ahead, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I press on towards the goal, which is Christ Jesus. God was good to Robin and I. The tumour shrunk and he was put down for surgery. This was to be about 6 weeks ago. The week before his surgery was due, Robin got a phone call to ask him to come in and have another colonoscopy before the next week. We all jumped to the same conclusion. The cancer has spread. So Robin went off to his appointment for his colonoscopy. And the doctor said to him, Robin, I don't know how to tell you this, but your tumour has gone. He said, see that white line there that you see on the screen? He said, yes. He says, well, that's where your tumour was, and that scar tissue. He said, I seen it last week on the scan, but I didn't want to say anything to you until I had actually seen it for myself. He says, Robin, you have confounded us. We were here to perform an operation on you, but now there's no operation to be performed because there is no cancer. Go home and enjoy your life. Robin and I and the girls were absolutely over the moon, you can imagine. We were so excited. We thank God for Robin's healing, and Robin is still well and still rejoicing in the Lord. Some of you here may have gone through some of the terrible abuses and depressions that I have gone through. Some of you may still be going through them and wondering when will it ever end. I can only say to you that God knows your situation, your pain and your sorrow. He is with you in it. Nothing happens to you that God does not already know. He will never leave you. He will bring his healing in his time, not yours. All the promises of God are always yes. Jesus is a healer, if we only let him in. There are some of you here today that need reassurance that you're going to heaven. Well, the word of God says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Try putting your own name into you. For God so loved Sandra that he gave his only life. For God so loved Moira that he gave his only life. For God so loved Marion that he gave his only life. That if she believes in him, she should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some of you here have been waiting for a physical healing and maybe been waiting a long time. I know that there's some of you suffering in here from MS. The Lord wants to touch you tonight. It may be migraines. It may be gut problems. It may be hormone problems. It may even be cancer. You need prayer tonight. If you want that touch from God, come out and let us pray with you. The Lord wants to touch others here tonight that are struggling. And he says this, and I want to read this to you. This is what I believe the Lord gave me a few days ago for some women in here. I believe it's a word for you. And if you receive that word tonight, then please don't get out here unless you come and let us pray with you. The Lord says you're walking in a path right now. You feel alone. You don't sense God walking with you. You're very fearful, and you wonder, is God in my situation? Fear is destroying you, and you have lost your peace. Yes, your situation is hard. Nothing seems to be getting better, but God hears your cries. He would only say this to you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honoured, and I love you. And for you, dear friends, tonight, that have never accepted Jesus and known that wonderful, wonderful love of Jesus, can I just say that he is here right beside you, and you only have to ask and let him in. Some of you may have been going to church and chapel goers all of your life, just like my friend Veronica. You have served the church and did so many good deeds, and you have been faithful. But can I say to you that this is what the Lord says? It is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. It is a work of God, not by good works, so that no one can boast. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is anything that is not pleasing to God. It separates us from God. Sin has been present from the beginning of the world, from the days of Adam and Eve, when they first sinned in the garden. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But because God loves us so much, he has to punish disobedience. The same way is because when we love our children, we have to punish their disobedience so that they may grow up better people. We have a wonderful Saviour who decided to love us so much that he would take the punishment for us. He would die for us. Do you know anyone that would die for you? Jesus did this for us so that we might be free. We stand clean and holy before God. He paid the price. When God looks at Kathy Muirhead, he does not see Kathy Muirhead. He sees Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. He only asks one thing of us. In faith, receive his love. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Jesus says to you tonight, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. As you turn to him, accept his unconditional love. Let him in, give him a chance. You've got nothing to lose, but everything to gain. I want to help you tonight, those of you who have never asked the Lord into your life, who have never become Christians. I want to give you that chance to start a brand new life with Jesus. I want to pray with you tonight. I want to pray with you, and I want to lead you in that prayer. But not just you to say that prayer. Let's all say this prayer together so that we don't embarrass anyone in the room at all. So I will lead you, and if you want to accept Jesus as your Saviour tonight, Just you say this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned and I have lived my life pleasing myself. I want to give my life to you and know your amazing love. Forgive me my sins and come in and live with me. From this day on and forevermore, give me your peace and your joy. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you now, if this is the first time that you have said this prayer, I want you just to raise your hand so that I can see you. We have a pack here tonight to give you, a nice bag with things in it to help you on your journey. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else in here? Thank you, Jeannie. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'll now give you an opportunity to come forward and to be prayed for. If you've been touched with anything at all that I've said tonight, there are ladies here with me, we showed you earlier on, that are quite happy to come and pray with you. Come forward tonight and allow Jesus to heal you and to set you free. Nothing is too difficult for him. He is here. He wants to meet your needs tonight. There are people here that want to be freed from depression. The Lord sees that. There are people here who have lost your first love in Jesus, and you need a boldness in your life. There are people here that need a new vision in their Christian walk. Maybe you feel lost tonight. Where there is doubt, you need courage. Where there is hate and unforgiveness, you need love. Where there is sadness, you need joy. Where there is shame, you need beauty and purpose. Where there is darkness and despair, you need to see the light of hope. God sees all these situations and he wants to pour his love into you tonight and heal you and set you free. This is a God-appointed time tonight. This is your time tonight. Please don't go out the door tonight without allowing us to pray with you and to minister to you. You can do two things tonight. You can say, yes, Lord, I want to come and be touched by you. Or you can walk out the door the same way as you came in tonight. The Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is here. So let us just come before him. Oh Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you have gathered us here together tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love the brokenhearted. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love the lost. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love the hurting and the lonely and the poor and the needy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on that cross for each one of us to give us a brand new life, a brand new start. Oh Lord, would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit and touch each one of us afresh, Lord. Would you minister to us tonight your love and your healing. Show us, Lord, the areas in our life where we need your touch, that we might be set free, that we might be whole, that we might be restored. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.